What about it, punk? Do you bleed orange and blue?
War Eagle!
War Eagle, War Eagle, War Eagle.
Hang on. You're about to enter the AU Fans Podcast with your favorite AU commentators, Vic Herron and Stan Stevens.
Prepare to be entertained and informed. Your life might even change.
And now, your studio host, Keith Maxwell.
All right, guys, another tough loss, making it two in a row. 0-2 schedule. I don't know what to say. I have no idea what's going on. I'm hoping Dick and Stan that y'all got an idea. Better yet, I guess. I hope the coaches got an idea of what's going on, because we're fixing to hit Louisiana Monroe, and didn't they upset Arkansas yesterday?
Well, yeah,
they did. Yeah, I'm not sure it's getting any easier. They look pretty darn good, to be honest with you.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Well, y'all go ahead and take it away. Let us know what's going on with our Tigers here.
Well, let me first of all start out by saying I've eaten all the crow I can eat. I mean, I'm officially off the 14-0 bandwagon, Vic. And of course, I'm not sure we were. And here's the thing with me. I could have almost lived with 0-2 if we would look like Clemson was favored, and was Mississippi State. It's not been so much the losses for me as how we've lost. I mean, you were prophetic before the season got started when you said the kicking game was going to be the only strength, and I should have listened to you, I guess. Parkey's been right on, and Clark's been kicking the ball well. Other than that, gosh, I mean, the defensive tackles position has just almost been shocking to me. I mean, the defense has played okay at times. I think if we had any kind of offensive any kind of offensive success, I think the defense would feed off of that a little bit. What do you think, Vic?
Well, Stan, I think as we were going into the season, you know, of course, you know, you were extremely optimistic, and I was cautiously optimistic. And, you know, the thing that we kept pointing out is that, or especially the thing that I kept pointing out, was that there were just still so many unanswered questions. I mean, you look at, you know, every position on our team, and you just go back to last year, you know, where, you know, the defensive line got whipped regularly. You know, we had not very good linebacker play, spotty secondary play. Obviously, we're starting with a new offensive line, new quarterback. You know, the only really proven guys on that offense was Lutzenkirchen and Blake. And, you know, the truth is we just had too many unanswered questions. And the sad thing is we were very optimistic that the answers to those questions were going to be positive. But the truth is, so far anyway, the answers have not been positive. They have been the opposite of that. They've been extremely negative. And that's why not only have we lost these two games, you know, to be honest with you, we haven't looked very good losing them either. You know, there were some bright spots in that Clemson game, but it was hard to find a bright spot Saturday.
Well, I agree. And, you know, like you say, you know, you were cautiously optimistic. And I think the reason for that, and I read a veteran reporter's report about yesterday's game, and he said, you know, make no mistake about it. He said, this Mississippi State team is about like the Mississippi State teams they've had in the past, maybe a little better in an area too. But he said, don't think that Auburn went up against a team that had more talent than they did. He said Auburn was, in his estimation, as far as, you know, if you take player by player, was superior to that Mississippi State team. Certainly not to the tune of getting beat by 18 points.
But hold on, Stan. See, I'm going to take issue with that. The reason I'm going to take issue with that is because I don't think there's very many guys on our team that have proven that they're very good players. You know, I'm sure what you're referring to is, you know, our recruits were ranked higher than Mississippi State's recruits. But the reality of that is, and I'm a recruiting guy, I love to follow recruiting, and I want the stars. You know, that's important to me. But the truth is, you know, anybody coming out of high school, as a general rule, is usually not ready to play college ball. So the what happens once you get them on that campus, and I'm not necessarily trying to throw stones here at the coaches, but the truth is right now, you know, for whatever reason, you know, we are not getting it done as far as a performance go, and that ultimately is going to fall back on the coaches. Now, you know, you're going to have to show me some good players before I start saying we had better players than Mississippi State, because after watching that game on Saturday, to me, Mississippi State had the better players because they whipped us. You know, that's just the bottom line. They whipped us. And, you
well,
know, I don't know.
I mean, the only thing about that, Vic, I think you could always argue that whoever wins on that particular day played better. I don't know. I don't know if anybody would honestly say Louisiana Monroe has got better players top to bottom than Arkansas, even though Monroe won the game. You know, if recruiting services mean anything, and if they don't, we need to quit talking about recruiting. If you can't go and look at most people's evaluation that these guys are top guys, and by the nature of who else is recruiting them, and then how well Auburn's done recruiting some of the, again, the given top players. No, I'm with you on there's something going on. There's something going on with the coaches. There's something going on within the team. Things that we don't know about. I just don't know if I would say that. If the recruiting doesn't mean anything, then I'll have to say, well, okay, we don't know who anybody's got anything.
Right.
I mean,
but
you look at Alabama though. When you look at Alabama, go just to use them as an example. When they got stars, and then their players do pretty well. That almost, to me, validates at least to some extent the recruiting services that evaluate talent.
Alabama's reputation is, you know, as an Auburn guy, we're going to talk about how, you know, Coach Saban's going to process guys out of there that, you know, is not getting it done. And a lot of those guys were highly recruited guys, you know, guys even that we recruited. You can go back to a Star Jackson that, you know, came down to Auburn and Alabama sort of and went with Alabama. Well, he turned out not to live up to expectations, and out he went, you know. But the reality is they don't hit on every prospect either. You know, I don't know if we just have a very, you know, large number of guys that, you know, that were overrated by the recruiting rankings or what. And I'm a firm believer that, as a general rule, when you sign the most highly rated guys, you're going to have the best players, and ultimately the best players is going to usually determine who wins the games. But, you know, just the performance that we saw on Saturday, though, just don't add up. You know, you can go back and say, well, we're supposed to have some more experienced guys. We've talked about this a lot. You know, some of our guys from that highly rated class 3 years ago are no longer in the program. You know, whether it's Antonio Goodwin or Sean Kitchings or Michael Dyer. Of course, Cam, you know, left a year earlier than he had to. I mean, you know, there's been a lot of attrition there of things that, you know, where some of these guys, Ed Christian with his injury, and, you know, we've talked about this on different shows as far as there's a lot of guys that were highly rated guys that's no longer contributing to our program that would be a little bit older guys. You know, so we still do have a youth problem. And, you know, and that's just the truth. You know, I mean, that's, you know, I was looking at Alabama on Saturday and saying, you know, A.J. McCarron's a good quarterback. But, you know, when he was a redshirt sophomore and he came in at the end of the Auburn game after McElroy got hurt that year, he didn't look too good. He looked scared. He threw the ball to the wrong place, you know, and he was in the program there for 3 years at that point in time. And I know that was some tough circumstances. But Kyle Frazier's only been in our program 2 years, and right now I'm sure he's getting a lot of the blame, and rightly so, because that was not a very good performance. I mean, you have to admit that wasn't a very good performance.
He didn't play well at all. I mean, as far as I could tell.
And so when you don't have very good quarterback play, there's nothing that you can do, you know, unless you are just so much more physically dominant where you can just line up and run the ball down people's throat. And in the Southeastern Conference, there's hardly any team where you can do that. You know, you're not going to be one-dimensional and win in this league. You know, you're not even going to get first downs in this league if you're one-dimensional. And
but, I mean,
the reality
there's been some
is,
other guys. I mean, I don't know if it's just youth in his case. I mean, I don't know about the supporting cast. I mean, you know, as I recall, Murray played at Georgia early. And looked decent. You know, there's been, I mean, that kid that came into Auburn last year for Utah State was a true freshman. And,
right.
Of course, he was lighting us up, but still a Utah State guy lighting up an Auburn, any Auburn team is still noteworthy.
Right. Well, and here's another thing, Stan, is, okay, you know, you listen to these guys all the time talking about, you know, the so-called it factor. He's got the it factor. He's got the it factor. You know, well, I'm not sure Kyle's got the it factor. You know, I'll be honest with you. He don't seem to make good choices. And I don't know if it's the play calling, if it's the organization of the game plan. But, like, when it's like there's never really any good options for him or he can't find any good options, where's the problem? Is it the quarterback when his decision-making? Is it Coach Leffler and the plays that he called? Or is it the game plan and the schemes that they came up with? I don't know
what the problem is.
Well,
I mean, that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, to me, you know, you're talking about youth, and I watched a good bit of the line play. I mean, Greg Robinson and Avery, you know, Young, two freshmen, one a redshirt freshman. I mean, to me, if the rest of the team was playing as well as those guys looked at when I've watched them, you know, we would be there. To me, it's some of the upper class guys that's played a lot. The defensive tackles, still doesn't appear to me that we're keeping people off the linebackers. And I mean, Demetrius McNeil making 18 tackles. I mean, I know you secondary, you want them to be active, but a safety making 18 tackles, that seems
right.
A little excessive. I mean, I'm glad he made them. So I don't know. I don't see any. I guess I'm not encouraged by anything I've seen yet from any really position. I mean, you know,
right.
Emory Blake's made some good catches when he's had the opportunity. I think Lutz has played solid. The running game is not where I thought it would be, especially running behind, you know, Jay Proch. And I know that kid's what a warrior he is. And again, kind of a side note, my hat's off to him. I know he played with a heavy heart with his mother passing. And,
exactly.
But I mean, you know, they named him the captain of the team. I mean, this kid is really, really a special guy, and I'm glad we've got him. But so I was hoping, you know, behind him, that we would, you know, be able to maybe, you know, knock out a few first downs. And I mean, the defense, you know, Vic's been out there a whole lot, and they played well at times. Now the whole second half, you know, O-Mac goes the distance on the kickoff, and then it was, you know, Mississippi State took it right back down the field. And, you know, well, I mean, they scored, what, 21 points, I guess, the second half
right.
against us. I mean, I didn't see anything in Saturday's game that, you know, they always talk about the improvement from game one to game two. Well, I didn't see that with Auburn, at least.
No, I didn't either, Stan. And you know, of course, as far as the game goes, and football is always a game of momentum. And obviously, you know, I thought, you know, maybe we grabbed some momentum with O-Mac's, you know, return. But one real disappointment that I had really was first half and second half. You know, we get the field goal in the first half to go up 3-0, and we immediately let them answer that, you know, with their touchdown drive to go up 7-3. And then in the second half, as soon as we got the lead 10-7, you know, we let them march right down the field and retake the lead. You know, so, you know, from that standpoint, the defense really sort of let us down as far as coming up with a big stop when we needed to. And I tell you, a big play I thought in the game that sometimes just gets on a 3rd-and-11 play when we're up 3-0 and we get the pass interference call, you know, in the first half that allowed them
right.
to keep that drive alive, and then they might take it on down and get the touchdown. You know, it's one of those things where you never know, but
right.
obviously that might have been big had we could have, you know, got that stop right there and maintained the lead, and who knows what might would have happened. But
and when we got down there for that 3 points, I mean, it was a really, I mean, we're 2nd and goal with the 5, and we try to run O-Mac on a sweep that got stuffed, and you really hoping, I think, at that point, you know, let's blast Jay up through there and let Blakely, who had been running, you know, some tough yards, let's see if he can maybe hit it down inside the 3 or the 2 to maybe give you a few more options on 3rd and goal. But, yeah, I mean, again, Parkey, you know, of course it was a short kick, but I guess he hadn't missed, and Clark punted by well. Other than that, just doesn't look
well,
like
– you know, throughout the year, it was another good special teams performance. You know, you factor in the kickoff return and you factor in what Parkey and Clark did. And you know, that's still the bright spot of our team. And, you know, if nothing else, we can hang our hat on that. But, you know, the reality is when you're playing, you know, SEC football games, and especially if you're on the road, when you're not getting it done on the offensive side of the ball or the defensive side of the ball, it's going to be a long day.
Yeah.
And that was a long day Saturday, you know. And I'll be honest with you, you know, I never wanted to give up, but when we let them go up 21-10, as bad as our offense had played all day and, you know, had not seemed to get any rhythm going, we didn't have a passing game at all, that game was over. You know, I mean, I was trying to stay upbeat and positive on it, but, you know, the reality of us, our offense scoring two touchdowns at that point in time, and to be honest with you, I think our team played like maybe they knew it was over, you know. So,
well, I'm sure it is tough, you know, and you know, take them one play at a time and all the cliches, but I'm sure it is tough to maintain that edge that you need, you know, knowing.
Sure.
It's really going to be, you're going to have to almost make some scores defensively. And I don't know what's happened to the offense. I guess, you know, I'm like you, I read everything you could read and I'm not saying I thought we were going to score 60 a game, but I think most people thought with Blake coming back and Lutzenkirchen, that was two big guys that had considered going to the NFL. And then again, Vic, where is Reed and Stallworth and Coates and Denson? I mean, I don't know that one of those guys – well, and Quan Bray finally got some, you know, those little underneath routes right there that Mississippi State was giving up in the last minute.
Right.
Of course, I guess we need to also at least mention, I mean, five turnovers. And, of course, the last one came, you know, nearly the last play of the game or whatever. But you know, Kyle having – basically four turnovers during the, you know, meat of the game, you just can't do it. I mean,
you're not going to win, that's for sure. And to be honest with you, you're going to look, I mean, when you're already struggling anyway on offense and then turn around and give them the ball. And some of those were just really, really bad plays. You know, I guess the one where I think first fumble where he had scrambled for a little bit of a yard and got hit on his way down. You know, that was the only one that was a positive play until he fumbled, you know, but some of the throws that he made were, you know, he's just really struggling with his accuracy, too. I remember the pass where he threw it to Lutzenkirchen for one of our better games. He terribly, you know, threw that ball behind Phillip, and Phillip had to do actually a nice job of reaching back and making, a tough catch on something that should have been a ball out in front of him that he could have caught and turned upfield and, you know, maybe even made it a bigger play, but... You know, he's just struggling right now, and with all sports, you know, when you lose your confidence, and I think that's happened to Kyle a little bit. He's struggling with his confidence and probably overanalyzing every throw and, you know, trying to be careful and, you know, to be honest with you, he's just not playing like a confident quarterback and making the right reads and plays that we need him to make.
And, well, you know, unfortunately, Vic, I mean, if there probably would have ever been a season to have maybe started out with a couple of opponents that would have been, you know, much, much less talented than Auburn, than, say, Clemson and Mississippi State, this would have probably been the year, because Kyle probably needed, just based on what you just said, he could have benefited greatly from having, you know, some success early. Well, what do you think? I mean, do you think Mosley, I mean, is his shoulder, he had not probably thrown hardly any since Kyle was named starter. I mean, I wonder if we'll see him, or do you even think Jonathan Wallace? I mean, how bad does this season maybe get before we have to start looking at playing some guys? You know, I know you don't necessarily play for next year, but again, Louisiana Monroe and the team I saw at least the second half, and I understand Arkansas was without Tyler Wilson, but their defense, I mean, they had the lead, and really it was not a fluke, as the guy I was talking to. Earlier today, you know, I mean, if you watch that second half, La Monroe, you know, moved the football and come and playing them at home hopefully helps. But they're not going to be obviously intimidated by 0-2 Auburn after what they were able to, you know, go on the road at night at Arkansas.
Right. Yeah. And here's going to be one of those things, Stan. I certainly agree with you. But to be honest with you, we're definitely – I think we're catching them at the right time, even though, like I said, they're going to be confident and feel like they can win. Now, obviously, if we were to get another poor start and Kyle was to struggle right off the bat, but the reality is, just like you pointed out earlier, you know, they're not Arkansas, they're not LSU. They do have good players, and their little quarterback looks to be like a pretty good little quarterback to me, and he made, you know, be honest with you, made our quarterback look even worse because he played a good ball game against Arkansas. But the reality is, you know, we should definitely be able to beat Louisiana Monroe. And right now, our team needs a win more than anything in the world. And the fact that Louisiana Monroe beat Arkansas, you know, had they not beat Arkansas, and Arkansas went on and Tyler Wilson not got hurt and beat them pretty good, then, you know, that wouldn't really done anything for us to have beat a bad Louisiana Monroe team. But the fact now that they've beaten Arkansas, if we can come back to Auburn now, get well, play a good ball game, beat Louisiana Monroe, that turns out, I think, to be what we need right now. Obviously, I don't think they're as talented as Mississippi State. I think that if we play well, I think we win this game. But then the reality is we beat a team that just beat Arkansas. So it does, I think, maybe serve to jumpstart our season a little bit, if that's possible at this point in time.
Right. Well, I mean, I did tell somebody I was talking to earlier today that, I mean, Clemson was favored, and so was Mississippi State. I mean, it's not so much, I think, especially in the Clemson game. I think most people had a certain feeling about that game, one that we let get away, but that we had played much better. The feeling after the Clemson game was much different than yesterday, Vic. I mean, we didn't play well at all. I mean, you know, we had some horrible numbers. I mean, -2 yards passing, things that, you know, people had not seen or had not seen in a long, long time. And it almost looked like we took a step back, certainly offensively. Now, maybe in the first half, the defense kind of, you know, sort of kind of picked up where they did against Clemson. But then the second half was kind of a collapse. So, yeah, I mean, I think just to get some consistent play out of this coming Saturday, to move the ball around, maybe a couple, two or three other guys catch some passes, maybe establish a running game and really, you know, go north and south. I think we're going to have to rethink how we play OMAC. I'm telling you, Vic, I haven't seen what they said in preseason that, you know, that OMAC was running between the tackles with authority.
Sam, we've watched him run for 3 years. You
That's
know,
right.
Reality of that guy is he's a speed sweep kind of guy. You know, to be honest with you, if you don't have a Michael Dyer or a Cam Newton to make him effective in what he does, then he's not going to be effective. You know, he's not going to break tackles. He's not going to. Now, he's great as far as, you know,
in space.
Speed. But the truth is you got to have players that complement him. Or he's
in
not
the game
be
at the same time, right?
Exactly. That's the truth. You know, you can't.
I think you've got to play Proche and Blakely or Mason, and then Omac's got to come off, and you can't give it to him every time. He's got to do like Coach Malzahn. He's got to be the decoy a lot of the time, so that, you know, you don't just know when he's in, he's going this direction or that direction on this play. That's what happened on that goal line play that I mentioned earlier. So, I mean, I think we've got to get either Mike Blakely right now or Trey Mason, and maybe they can play every other series if that's how that Coach Looper and Coach Lev want to run it. But we've got to have those guys in the game, and then OMAC can play off of them. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing him in there with those guys, and you swing a pass out to the guy. Okay, let him catch the ball out of the backfield. But he needs to be – OMAC needs to be kind of in stride when he receives the ball. I mean, I just don't think him from a dead stop going between tackles, I think we're in agreement on that. That's not going to work.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. But I'll tell you another thing I think that we can agree on, too, though. If Kyle doesn't become more confident throwing the ball down the field and, be honest with you, show better accuracy, you know, we're going to be placing 9 folks in the box. You know, they're just going to man up on our couple outside receivers and, you know, they're not going to respect the downfield passing game at all. And the reality is, you know, he hit that long one against Clemson. And, of course, he hit Lutzenkirchen in the seam on that play. But you know, I just don't think that he's looked good enough to really make teams respect that. So he's going to have to do it. He's going to have to do it, or we're going to get drilled. I mean, that's just the truth.
Is Mosey? You think Mosey's arm? I mean, where do you think? I mean, if you had to guess, it would be a guess. I mean, where is Clint Mosley's arm right now? Probably not. He's probably not. Can you play Jonathan Wallace? Is that a possibility?
Be honest with you, if they'd have called me Saturday during that game and asked me, do we put Jonathan Wallace in, I guarantee my answer would have been yes.
The funny thing about that, and again, I don't know if I want to believe anything that anybody says about preseason practice or any practice for that matter. But, you know, the things, you know where I'm going with this, what they said about Wallace from the very beginning. You know, of course, they talked about how he had spent time in the summer in the film room. And they just kept saying, hey, this guy gets it. This guy gets it.
Right.
We're just surprised at how far along he is. Now, again, I don't know if that was just talk, but you're right. Probably if somebody would have said, okay, what do you – I said, well, I mean, how can you beat minus 2 yards passing?
Exactly. Well, I think me and you both were huge Kyle Frazier fans. I mean, obviously a lot of our success this season – you know, was depending on him being a really good player. But I think both of us thought that he, you know, really felt like that he was going to really come in and do a lot of good things. But I can remember a little crossing route yesterday where just a little short pass, and he kind of just floated it, and it was behind the receiver.
Right.
And, you know, to be honest with you, we had two receivers kind of right there in the same area. I mean, the whole play looked bad. And you know, I think some of that gets back to coaching. I don't know if the players are – but I'm like, you know, if we can't even complete that little old pass, you know, and Kyle didn't throw it well and the play didn't look designed well. I mean, I just think we got some real issues right now on offense. And I don't know the answers, you know. I just know the coaches have got a lot of work to do.
I don't know that we can fix it. And, again, we got to get better, you know, to kind of switch gears. Defensively, Jeff Whitaker, Ken Carter, Gabe Wright, Blackston, Devonta, you know, Ziegler, if he's – somebody up there has got to man up on that front, and we got to stop getting blown off
right.
the ball like that. I saw on several plays.
Well, you know, we talked a lot more this season.
They're talented. I mean, you know, I like Jonathan Evans and Bates, and then they're kind of undersized, but they're, you know, they're seniors, Bates, and of course, you know, Jonathan is, and then of course, I mean, Holland is a junior. So I think they've got the experience. They played enough football. If you can put them into some positions to be successful, they will be. But they're not so talented that they can just be taking on some of those offensive linemen and scraping. And you know what I mean? The size and speed of them. I mean, they're kind of undersized. I mean,
right.
what? I mean, 5'11" and both of them, and then Holland maybe
right.
6 foot. So I was really hoping. I'm still happy with, you know, D Ford and Lemonnier coming off the edges.
Right.
You know, they're still, you know, putting some pressure on, but
they are. But they need to make a few more plays, to be honest with you. I know.
Well, you're right.
I remember one example for sure where D Ford had a hold
had
of
him.
The quarterback and had him and just let him go, and they wound up making a play out of it. But you know, those are plays that need to be made. I mean, these are. What we were saying, we're going to be all-conference-type players, and to be honest with you, if you're going to be an all-conference-type player, then you have to make those plays. You know, and Adam Russell is not Cam Newton. You know, I mean, he needs to go to the ground when you get a hold of him. And, of course, now I will say this, you know, I was impressed. You know, of course, I guess when our quarterback was playing so poorly, you know, made Adam Russell look even that much better, but I was impressed with the improved Tyler, I'm sorry. Tyler Russell, the improvements that he's made.
Well, that's right. When he and the guy's calling the game, I think pointed out, you know, he's just played enough that he has gotten that much better because, I mean, you know, he's finally has a few games under his belt and he's been in state's program a little while. So, I mean, that might have been, you know, the difference that he needed. I still think, again, Kyle Frazier could probably win the punt, pass, and kick competition type thing. You know, I mean,
right. I agree. You know,
I mean, if he had a foot race as a quarterback, if he had arm strength, but there is, like when you caught what you were calling the it factor. There's something, and it's almost, you almost see it in his eyes, bless his heart. I mean, I love the kid. He's an humble, he's the kind of guy you want to win, and not just because he's an Auburn guy. I mean, he just seems like he's the kind of guy you want to be successful, and he looks, you know, like he's got the tools. And as far as, again, arm strength, I mean, he's not slow-footed, any of those kinds of things. But like you say, when the lights come on, he just had, I don't guess, I mean, again, I don't think he's played enough games. But see, unfortunately, and with our fan base being like it, and then with our schedule, I mean, Vic, and I mean, of course, you pointed it out to me, and I was obviously hoping the team would play a lot, not just Kyle, but I was expecting a whole lot better, effort, and a team to look a whole lot better. And I was hoping to be 2-0 at this point. Of course, I said all along, Clemson was a huge game, and I honestly think we could have won that game. Maybe we would have played better, but now you're coming in. Of course, I didn't think La Monroe would even be. You know, I mean, when you start talking about an Auburn talent and playing at home, you don't expect. Of course, I'm sure Arkansas didn't expect it. I mean, exactly. That's why they looked like they did when the overtime ended. But then you are facing LSU, and then a week off. Of course, I don't know. Again, now maybe Arkansas will be of the first what of those first five games we play. Maybe you know the one game late. is more winnable, but. I mean, what a crazy, crazy thing. But, you know, again, I just don't know how much. I mean, if you don't beat La Monroe and then you've got LSU, a very good LSU team, and I'll have to say Mettenberger has made a believer out of me in just a little, right. You know, time that I've seen him.
Exactly.
Ole Miss is at least winning, and you go on the road with them, so.
Well, I reckon Coach Leffler at this point in time has realized there might be a little something to this SEC thing and the quality of the defensive teams and the speed of the players. You know, that was obviously his first opportunity to go up against an SEC defense, and, you know, it just didn't go well. And ultimately, you know, we're going to talk about the players a lot, but, you know, ultimately the responsibility for all of this is the coaches. And, you know, obviously he's hired to make our offense score points. And, you know, the truth is we didn't score any offensive points on Saturday, and that's going to be an issue, you know. So,
guess we've had, one touchdown against Clemson. I mean, the long pass to Emory Blake.
Right.
And then we had, three, I guess, Cody kicked, three field goals.
Four field goals, I think.
One touchdown there, and then one no offensive touchdown. I feel for Lefty, as they call him. I feel for that guy because you just about can't start out much, you know, your tenure much worse than, you know, one touchdown in eight quarters.
That's
tough. I still think Coach Van Gorder and the defense. I still see, you know, things happening for that defense. They've shown me some signs of life. I think if we give them any kind of hope offensively, you may see those guys even come up a little bit harder. But we'll see.
Yeah. Well, next week's a big week, you know, when you think about the fact that we're sitting here 0-2, and even though it is Louisiana Monroe, they did come off the big win over Arkansas, so it's an important game that we need to get in the win column. And of course, now the scary thing, Dan, when you start looking at our season and the fact that we have started off 0-2, you know, exactly what this thing may wind up like, you know. I mean, you know, Georgia looked good, you know, so you got LSU, Alabama, and Georgia that looks pretty tough, and you got – you know, we already got two losses, so that's five losses. And if, you know, I'm not saying we're conceding those, but, you know, I'm just saying, you know, the way we
we'll definitely
so
be
far,
heavily, we'll be heavily underdogged.
Exactly. You know, I mean, so now we're looking best case scenario 7-5, and that's if you win all your other highly competitive, you know, tough games, you know, and that's going to be a challenge, you know. So, you know, it's looking like it could be a long year. Now, obviously, we can get this thing turned around, and it needs to start this Saturday. And you know, who knows what can happen. Football's a crazy thing. Nobody would have thought Louisiana Monroe could have beat Arkansas. So, You know, I won't go into the LSU game thinking we don't have a chance, but, you know, if we play another one like we played yesterday against Louisiana Monroe, I might be saying that next week. But
I think it's safe to say, Vic, that if we don't, as a team, as the coaches and the players, if we don't show some significant improvement, I mean, you're not going to beat LSU. I mean,
right.
Anything's possible, you know, I guess in theory, but as you say, the reality of facing an LSU team, if you're not only now 1-2, but I mean, I don't think it can be, you know, I don't think it can be 14-13 Auburn, you know, kind of thing.
Right.
I mean, I think Auburn needs to come out, play up to their full potential. I mean, the one good thing, they played two pretty good, decent teams in Clemson and Mississippi State. So, I mean, guys, they face speed and talent and skills,
right,
and all that kind of stuff. So there shouldn't be an excuse now playing La Monroe. We ought to be able to give them our A game. We got everything on the line. I mean,
right.
Vic, I don't know what you think about it, and it's not, obviously it's not our decision, but you know, if you limp in at 3-9 or 2-10 or even, you know, there's going to be some real ramifications, I'm afraid, at least in terms of the pressures and things and perception and everything of which way the program's going. So, I mean,
another scary thing about that, Stan, you know, we're sitting here with this, you know, pretty good looking recruiting class, you know, what
right.
would a 3-9 type season do to us? Does that start falling apart? The guys start jumping ship, those kind of issues, you know, I think,
well, that's right.
I think, as long as we can keep those guys on board, you know, I think, you know, those are some talented guys, I think, that can come in and start helping us and meet even next year, you know, but, you know, a lot of times you'll see that, you know, when things go way wrong, you know, and you know, everybody's screaming for the coach's head and things like that, and guys
sure.
become a little bit nervous about coming to a program like that, you know. So.
Well, that's right, and I mean, and that's why it is, I mean, it's funny to say, but I don't know that we played a bigger game in a lot of senses than we've got coming up this Saturday against La Monroe. You never would have believed that, but given where we are, what we've got facing, you know, the following couple of weeks, and again, Vic, I want to emphasize, we need to play well against La Monroe. Certainly a win is going to be a start. But,
right.
And I'm not
yeah,
saying
we need to look
that's
good
going
doing
blow,
it.
That's not going to blow them out. But what I'm saying
right.
is we need to tackle better. We need to,
right.
the guys need to run crisp routes, and we need to have some execution. And you know, in other words, in as much as we have more talent than La Monroe, if that's the case, and I hope that's the case, then guys ought to exert that talent, and there should be some separation on somebody other than Emory Blake. Our offensive line should play well enough that somebody, maybe Mike Blakely or Trey Mason, has a 100-plus yard day. Kyle Frazier needs to have a 60 or 65%, 70% passing like we thought that he, you know, was capable of doing.
Right.
I mean, those are the kind of things I'm looking for to see if, you know, hey, if we really do now have something, we can maybe go into the LSU game thinking, you know, we played tough early, we got the losses out of the way, now we're ready to maybe step up and play them better than we did last year.
Right. Well, all right. I think we about wore this one out. Hopefully,
I agree.
Hopefully
I mean,
next week we're.
Yeah, I hope we talk. We're, yeah, we hope we're talking about a victory. I think, Vic, I'm not guessing the score again.
No, me either. I'm done with that.
Let's just say that we hope Auburn wins. We hope that we've learned enough lessons in these first 2 weeks to get after it. And
right.
I think everybody's mind's right. I know Coach Chizik and that staff are under a lot of pressure, and their focus is going to be squarely on La Monroe. And so.
Right. That'll wrap it up, Keith.
We'll talk to you next week, and hopefully we're celebrating a win.